You are now tuning into the I Love Jesus Music Podcast with your host, Franz P. LeBlanc. Make sure to subscribe, like, and share. Enjoy today's episode.
What's good, everybody? I'm your host, Franz P. LeBlanc, and you're tuning in to the I Love Jesus Music Podcast. Listen, y'all, I'm excited. Again, I'm always excited, but y'all, this one, I'm excited about this one, y'all. This is a phenomenal worship leader, phenomenal songwriter, awesome artist, y'all. Y'all know her. Y'all seen her already. I post it sometimes on my page. I want y'all to give it up for Deborah Haynes, Carolina. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for coming out.
No problem.
I'm excited that you're here. Listen, y'all, I'm going to tell you a little story. I actually did a podcast with Deborah already, y'all. Mm-hmm. And it got deleted. Yeah, it got deleted. And I was super sad. I'm like, what am I going to do? And she, like, I hit her up. I said, sis, the podcast got deleted. Can you come back and do it again? And she was like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, this is like really cool people. A lot of people wouldn't have done that. So I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Coming back and doing another interview with this little crazy guy here. So we're going to get started, sis. We're going to go all the way back to the beginning, all right? We want to go back to where you grew up, where you were raised. Okay. Tell the people where you grew up and where you were raised, that sis.
Well, I was born in Staten Island, New York. And I was basically raised in New Jersey, but technically it was like split.
Okay.
We lived in Jersey, but we were always in New York.
Hold up. I don't even think I asked you this last time. I didn't know you from New York.
I am.
No way. Okay.
Yeah.
That explains the demeanor, y'all.
What does that mean?
You know, New York has got a demeanor. Like, hey, what's up? But don't get too close.
That is so funny. Yeah, but we kind of split our time, and for the first, like, I don't even know, maybe like 3 or 4 years of living in Jersey, we were still, my parents still worked in New York. We were still going to church in New York.
Okay.
So our lives were still kind of in New York.
Got
until
it.
We officially kind of made the separation, but for the most part, it was split between New York
and Jersey. Wow. Now, which one do you prefer, New York or Jersey?
Well, based on where I'm from, I would say Jersey.
Okay.
Based on the opportunities.
Got you. Okay.
Because I was born in Staten Island. It's more of like a Italian.
Yeah.
Slight suburb, but not, you know what I mean?
Like, got it.
But there's not really much to it.
Got you.
When we moved to Jersey, we had more opportunities.
Got it.
For my parents and for my siblings. So, yeah, definitely Jersey.
So what was it like in school for you? What kind of student were you? Were you like a straight A student? Were you the class clown? Were you the one?
Definitely not. Not straight A, but like A, sprinkle of B in there.
Got it.
If it's math, cancel me. If it has anything to do with numbers, don't ask. I'm not. No. The answer is not. Okay?
Oh, that's funny.
No lie. Everything else, I'm like, I'll scrape up an A or a B, but.
Got it. That's funny. So what was your favorite subject in school?
Here's the thing. It wasn't like, I don't have a favorite because it was just kind of like, get it done.
Got you.
Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't enjoy school.
Got it.
I wouldn't say that I enjoyed school. I do like reading.
Got it.
I will say that. Mm-hmm. I like reading, but I like reading when I don't know reading.
Got you. Okay.
So like school.
That's funny. So before ministry comes in to the picture, before leading worship comes into the picture and writing songs, what career path were you taking?
I was actually planning to be a chef.
Okay.
I was in culinary school for high school and college.
Hey.
Yeah, culinary and hotel management.
Wow.
Yeah, and the being a chef thing kind of deterred way before music even entered the picture.
Okay.
Because I had started to meet a lot of chefs. Mm-hmm. I was working in restaurants and I started seeing like everybody was like bald, toothless, like stressed out, drunks. Like I was like, maybe this is not what I want.
Right.
So I started to kind of lean more into the management side.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to like work more in hotels and
got it.
Stuff like that. And yeah, so and then eventually I kind of wanted to work on a cruise ship.
Got it.
Just in the hospitality
got it.
Arena, yeah.
But it's a full circle because you launched your I believe your cooking business, right?
Yes.
So it's
yes.
full circle and you cooking now and I yes. see the milk. Listen, man, I'm gonna put my order in. Because I see some of your followers literally putting some stuff up and I'm like, yeah, this looks amazing.
Please. Yeah, no, I did. We just launched JD Eats.
Hey.
And we're planning to hopefully have an event, an official launch,
mm-hmm.
Like a tasting.
How was that for you? Because it's kind of like, you know, you started off wanting to do it. It kind of drew away from it. Now it's coming back. How does that feel?
It feels really good. I'm enjoying. I've always kind of wanted to be multifaceted. And so I just... I never really knew how to fit that passion back into my life.
Got it.
So I kind of thought, well, I'm just cooking for my husband. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just how cooking is going to stay in my life. But eventually people started, I don't know how it started. Someone was trying to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, Deborah, you know, you cook. Can you make me a meal, you know, that or teach me how to make a meal
right.
that I can make every day? And I said, well, I'll just make you the food for the week.
Mm-hmm.
I made them the food and then they were like, oh my God, it's so good. And I was like, maybe this could be a thing.
Right,
so
right.
I started doing it and it like really took on a life of its own, honestly.
Wow. So on a daily basis, what's your favorite thing to cook? Like your signature meal. If you get this, you know for sure. Either the Cash App is going to be ringing, someone going to call back and ask for more.
I like experimenting with like pastas.
Okay.
I like experimenting with pastas and like finding different ways to make things healthy. That's mm-hmm. kind of a fun thing for me.
Got it.
And not like in the obsessive way,
mm-hmm.
because I think during this COVID time,
mm-hmm.
we've kind of found a way where everybody's transforming. Everybody's, you know, dropping major pounds and like, so there's kind of a standard that you have to lose this astronomical amount of weight to, you know, to fit into that mold, where I'm just kind of finding casual ways for people to eat healthier, but not feel like they're sticking to a crazy diet.
Got it.
So yeah,
that's what's up. So you started, you grew up in the church. I want to ask you, what were like your early childhood musical influences growing up? And it doesn't have to be gospel either.
Yeah. Well, in the church that I grew up in, because I was from New York,
mm-hmm.
we had a lot of music coming through.
Yeah.
Through. So it was a lot of like the Hezekiah Walkers and Corey Henry.
Yeah.
And Bishop Nixon,
mm-hmm.
Darius Nixon. So it wasn't a lot of like, it was just a mixture of like preachers and singers, Jeffrey White, people like that really inspired me almost by accident,
mm-hmm.
That I can kind of find within how I minister now.
Got it.
But when it became intentional and I started to really listen to certain people, I would say Benita Jones was a big inspiration as far as like navigating.
Right.
Of course, Miranda Curtis, who is my mentor, of course, that just intentionally like watching them. Kaylee and Erica
mm-hmm.
Tuttle, who are Judy Jacobs' daughters.
Okay.
Great inspiration.
Okay.
But yeah.
So at what age did you start leading worship?
15.
Wow.
Yeah, I was 15.
Was it something you were ready to do or they just threw you in there?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No.
Everybody I've interviewed so far, they have this story. Like, I was ready.
No.
I was just in service one Sunday. And someone was like, here.
Literally. Literally, yeah. The church that I had been attending at that time, they had come from New York too, mm-hmm. and we were starting like a branch of the church.
Got it.
That was in New York, mm-hmm. in Jersey, and the worship leader that was there was pregnant.
Wow. Okay.
And she could not sing
Got
anymore.
It.
Mm-hmm. Just you know, being pregnant and like not being able to breathe and stuff, and so one Sunday she really just couldn't do it.
Right.
And she said, here, you know, you got it. It's like, oh, shoot.
Do you remember what you were feeling at that moment?
Like, I wanted to leave the church forever. Honestly. Like, I literally just sat and was, like, thinking, like, how can I just walk out right now? Like, if I leave, what can they do? You know? What can they actually do?
That's funny. So your first time is leading at 15, and I'm pretty sure after that they probably said, hey, you did a phenomenal job, and I'm pretty sure they started putting you on schedule on a more daily basis, right?
Yes.
Okay. So around what time did you figure out, hey, you know what? I think I actually might like this. I think I might actually start doing this as a passion versus I'm being told to do it.
That is so funny. Like yesterday. No cap.
Hold up. So wait.
Yeah.
Since you released a number one debut single, you did a live recording. You've been leading across the world, singing behind some of the top notch gospel artists. And it's like yesterday hit you like, I think I might like.
No lie. Because, to honestly, being from the background that I am from, mm-hmm. I didn't know that there were traveling worship leaders.
Right.
I didn't know that you could go to another church, mm-hmm. that wasn't your sister church or your cousin church or whatever, right. mm-hmm. and they would actually like bring you to sing,
right,
and like compensate you. I had no idea. that was a thing.
Right.
So when people started asking me to come, mm-hmm. I'm like, I mean, okay, sure. But like never in a million years did I think, oh, this could be a career.
Right.
You know,
right.
like mm-hmm. never. Mm-hmm. Only because I didn't want to do it because leading work, like worshiping felt personal.
Right.
And it is personal. Mm-hmm. But I always felt like once I expose it, it's not pure anymore.
Right.
You know? So I was afraid of that. And so I didn't take any money from anybody for a long time.
Wow.
Just because I felt like the minute I make this official, mm-hmm. it's not for God anymore.
Right.
And I was afraid mm-hmm. until obviously I got into my word and stuff, you know?
Right.
But I was just scared that mm-hmm. this thing that I had for myself would no longer be for me.
Wow.
And, yeah, so after, like, even the live recording, like, my husband and my management team, they were like, listen, you have to do, like, it doesn't, like, come on, mm-hmm. stop. You
right, know, right,
like,
right, right.
You have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was getting prophetic word after prophetic word that this was the career, like, this is what God was doing in my life and all that stuff. And I was okay. I was, like, not okay with it,
mm-hmm.
but I was just kind of going with the flow.
Right.
And it wasn't until actually, like, during the live recording process
mm-hmm.
that I had officially kind of like, okay, here's what I want to do. If I'm going to do it, I want to do it right.
Right.
And so I started getting the whole business plans and all that stuff together. But before then, we were riding the wave.
You wasn't with it.
Mm-mm.
So I remember going to see you at an event. I believe it was the first fountain you had, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. It was at a hotel.
Yeah.
Miranda Curtis was there.
Yeah, that was the second one.
That second one. Okay. Yes. I remember Mark Britt hosted it.
Yes.
And I remember you coming on stage and you started singing, I Will Exalt You. And you broke into whatever I need you to be. And the place erupted.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that single right there. How did that come to you? How did that melody come to you? Was it something you were just doing in your personal space and it's just a song you got from the Lord? Was it a spontaneous moment during worship? How did that song come to you?
I was at my previous church and they were having like a prayer service
mm-hmm.
and the pastor had asked me, you know, can you just sing? And I think I had been taking a break prior to that. I wasn't singing mm-hmm. prior to that service. And it was just a prayer and worship service. Mm-hmm. No, the worship leader was supposed to be there, wasn't there, I think. And he said, hey, can you, fill in and just, flow, whatever. So I go in and I was very heavy because I've been taking a break. I was, on sabbatical. I didn't want to sing. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to face the people because right. I was so heavy. So I turned my back to the audience and I knelt from the very beginning of the set. Mm-hmm. And I knelt down and I just started worshiping God like I would in my closet, like regular. And I started singing, I Will Exalt You first. Mm-hmm. And my husband was playing and literally I am came out. It just came out. Wow. Like, it was definitely a moment, but yeah, it just spilled out of me.
At what time did either your husband or you say, you know what? I think we have a sing on our hands. We need to release this.
My husband immediately, as soon as it came out of my mouth, my husband was like, he had already recorded it. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. He was on the keyboard. And as soon as I started saying, I Will Exalt You, mm-hmm. my husband had turned his phone on, like mm-hmm. the voicemail thing on. And that night after we were done, it was a great moment, but I was not expecting to be anybody's artist.
Right.
Just thinking this was a great moment in worship. Mm-hmm. Whatever. I don't want to record music,
Right.
And if I do, I actually wanted to record secular music.
So, R&B?
Yeah.
Neo-soul?
Yeah, definitely neo-soul, And he was like, okay, cool. I scheduled the studio time for Friday. I'm like, excuse me? What do you mean? And it was literally like we went in that week, recorded the music, and that was it.
Wow. So you record the song. At what point did you realize this song was really taking off? Because you get on Instagram, literally, you're seeing worship leaders across the world started to sing this song. At what point did it hit you? Like, yo, this is actually a single. People love it. Mm-hmm. What artist ministered it that shocked you the most, that was like, I think I have something special here?
Honestly, I have to be completely honest. I did not start embracing I Am until recently.
Wow.
Like very, very recently. I didn't start embracing I Am only because I, like I said, it came out of a very heavy place, mm-hmm. a very dark place. I was not okay, mm-hmm. And at the time that it came out, because I was going through all that change and transition and I was hurting, I was like, when I wrote it, I was like 19, 20, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I started dating my husband when we were 18. We got married when we were 21. Mm-hmm. I had my child at 22. Mm-hmm. I had moved to another state, left my parents at 22, and it was a dark time, and not to mention postpartum and all that stuff. So during that time I didn't really embrace the I Am journey like I wish that I could have. Mm-hmm. So really, even in the re-recording of it with James, I didn't embrace the moment. I wasn't living in the moment. Wow. I was very zombie-like. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I met Bishop John Francis, mm-hmm. and we met in a banquet hall, and he started singing I Am, like belting it. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about we're sitting at a table. Pastor John Hanna is sitting here. T. Renee Glenn is sitting right wow. here. You have Miranda Curtis is sitting here. Mm-hmm. These big name preachers are sitting eating, mm-hmm. and Bishop Francis stands up and starts singing I Am loudly, singing it, and got caught up, and he's like, oh yeah, blah, 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 blah. just in, right? And I'm standing there and I couldn't even feel it.
Wow.
There was nothing in me that was like, oh my gosh, this man is singing my song. Mm-hmm. Everything in me just wanted to cry.
Wow.
And he laid his hands on me and I started crying. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, he started ministering to me.
Right.
And it was not about the song anymore. It wasn't about the mm-hmm. I Am girl. It was about I am actually healing me. So honestly, recently was the most I've accepted.
That's such a unique story. And I never knew that.
Yeah.
I want to ask you this, because when you come out as an artist or a worship leader that's starting to be well known, sometimes people don't detach the actual person from the artist.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about that. The misconception of the artist versus the actual person.
Yeah. I think first, there's a difference between a person who is talented
mm-hmm.
and someone who is a creative.
Mm.
You know, someone who's talented can take what you give them and make it good.
Right.
Someone who's a creative can take nothing and make it great.
Mm-hmm.
And with that comes its challenges.
Right.
Because you're always fighting with reality or supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
Because being a creative is a supernatural thing. It's
right.
a supernatural gift. God is the master creator, right?
Well, for sure.
So with that being said, it has this blurred line mm-hmm. between what's real and, you know, what's real, you mm-hmm. know?
All right.
And it becomes a weighty walk when you don't really, you know, I don't know, like when your music is your expression and music kind of takes you into this, your own world.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times when you're like, I don't even know what's real and what's fake. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, for sure.
And I think that's the separation between being the person
mm-hmm.
and being the artist.
Mm-hmm.
Because being an artist is a term that's used for people.
Right.
But I am a creative at home.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's not a like turn on, turn off.
Right.
I am always this way. I am always that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I think that's the most difficult part, is people don't understand that like the person is the artist.
Yeah.
You know?
That makes sense. I like that. So your this song blows up. People are singing it everywhere. You start traveling, right? And one of the things I love about you, you have such a servant's heart. You're not a prideful artist where it's all about me. Like, you don't mind singing back up.
Yeah.
You don't mind serving the house. Tell me how has serving taught you valuable lessons when it came to the industry and your gift?
Yeah, I think because of the industry that we're in, the gospel industry,
mm-hmm.
whether people act like it or not, God is the center of it.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ is the greatest example of being a servant no matter who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that serving, like in the Bible, when Jesus wash the feet of his followers
mm-hmm.
or, you know, wash the feet or baptize or when John the Baptist baptized him, and having that moment of humility
mm-hmm.
of, you know, serving and being served, it keeps you grounded.
Right.
You know, it mm-hmm. keeps you grounded, and it also helps you to understand why you do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment that you don't know why you do what you do is when you get lost.
Yeah.
So
I love it. What artist did you sing behind that literally took you by surprise? Like, after it was over, you sat back and said, this really happened. Had you had that moment yet? Or had you had a moment in worship where you did a mic toss, or someone tossed you the mic and you're like, wow, I can't believe I either sang behind this person, or this person invited me to sing with them, or this person was actually right there, like really enjoying what God placed in me?
Yeah. I think the most I've ever been like present in the moment like that
mm-hmm.
was when I sang, I had opened up for Kim Burrell.
Wow.
And that was like the first time that I was, because I'm working on being present.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm very like thinking about what's next.
Right.
And so I'm working on like being where I am.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the first time I'd ever kind of got my mind into the moment, like, oh my gosh, she's right here. Like, this is happening.
This is yeah. Kim Burrell. Wow, yeah. That's awesome. One of the things you said, I want to say last year, I think you were getting ready to record your live recording. You said something about, hey, I don't want people to just know me as the I am girl.
Yeah.
There's more to me.
Mm-hmm.
There's more I have to offer. And I think sometimes when we come out with a single, you said some people are so quick to kind of put you in this box.
Yeah.
And your live recording was beautiful. Mm-hmm. That probably was probably one of the most beautiful, well-put live recordings.
Thank you.
I think I've been to. And then when you came out with the wedding dress, it...
I'm so sorry.
I mean, who do you know that gives communion at the live recording, y'all?
That is so funny. I'm so sorry. That was so
it. That thing was so it, man. Listen, man. Like, I don't think there was a dry eye in the room.
Yeah.
At that time, like, you came out with a wedding dress, and it was probably one of the most intimate,
yes,
things I've ever seen. At like,
wow,
it was just so beautiful. And at that moment, when I seen that, I literally went back to that statement you made.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more than just I am.
Yes.
There's a creative side to you that's just phenomenal. And I don't think the world has yet to see it. I know so far they've only been seeing I am. I know they've been seeing certain songs here and there. I want you to talk about your creative process.
Sure.
Because you were like, hey, don't get it twisted. I could do I am, but I'll drop a hot 16 for you in a second.
Yeah, because I am, like I said, flowed out of me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a chance to create it,
mm-hmm,
or, you know, put it together. It was really a spontaneous moment. And when you're known for something that you do naturally,
mm-hmm,
you're not, people don't know that you can actually sit down and put something together that is thought out and thought right through, you know? And so there was a point where I questioned even myself if I was just the I am girl, you, mm-hmm, know, if I was just talented and maybe not creative.
Right, right, right.
So the live recording was my first opportunity to really channel that.
Right, right, right.
You know?
And that was your first live recording.
Like, my first ever live recording.
It was bananas.
I'm so like, grateful.
It was beautiful from the beginning.
I love that you said a wedding dress, because I'm glad that it translated that way. You know? Because I didn't know if people were going to just translate it as she came out in a white dress,
mm-hmm,
because it's a moment, you know, like a holy moment.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But I really wanted to portray
that
I'm walking to my groom, who is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
While we're taking communion and we're singing Give You Glory. Do you know?
I've never seen it done before. And it was
so dope.
It's rare to have beautiful moments. I'm gonna be not a lot of people have beautiful moments like that.
Wow.
In a live recording. I know, I think we're sometimes they're so focused on making sure we get out.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes the production aspect of it is not thought out
for
as
sure
much.
Mm-hmm.
But that moment right there, man, to me was probably one of the most beautiful moments I've ever seen thus far.
Wow.
At a live recording.
I love that.
I want to talk about the preparation for this thing, because
sure,
I know it was a lot of work.
Okay.
And I think one of the things I love that you did as well, you kind of let us see the behind the scenes of this.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like the anticipation up until the live recording. Right? We're seeing you with the band. We're seeing you in a corner with your notebook. We're mm-hmm literally seeing you at some point praying. You know?
Yeah.
Musicians playing basketball. Like, it was like, honestly, I felt like I was watching a reality show on your Insta story up until the season finale.
Are you kidding me?
Which was the live
that
recording.
That is so dope. That is so dope.
So tell me a little bit about that preparation process up until that point that you get on stage and you do the first song.
So really, it started with the begging.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody like, the world, the world, the world, what are you going to do? A live recording, whatever, whatever. I'm like, people don't want a live recording. Like, stop being dramatic. Mm-hmm. It's okay. I don't have to do a live recording. And then when I finally did it, my brother Pudge Trivet, who is one of the producers on the album, he was my core during this process. Like, Pudge is basically one of my mentors. He has really, like, hand-walked me through this. And from the very beginning, when I sat down and told him, I'm nervous, I'm scared, I don't know if I should do this. And Pudge is very honest. You know, like, I can say, bro, what you think? I want to start a fashion line. What you think? Chill on that. You know what I mean? Like, wait for that. And it's like, you know that he means it and he wants the best for you. So from the minute that we started, it was like, okay, this is what you need to do if you want it to be, if you want it to be good. Because I came to him because I've known Hutch for a long time. But I didn't want to pull on that side of him until I knew that I was serious. You know what I mean? So I said to him, you know, hey, I want to do this. What do you think? He said, okay, here are the things that you need. This is what I'm used to, because we know Pudge is world renowned. So he said, this is what I'm used to. I said, okay, what I want to do is get as close to this as I possibly can. Then I got with my other brother now, Jair. He was a sound engineer, and it was very important. He taught me about my health and what I needed to protect my voice. And then I moved on and got a vocal coach, Mark Collier. It was amazing. From the beginning, we started having vocal lessons. He started telling me what I couldn't eat, what I couldn't drink. I had to drink gallons of water a day. And so I started doing that. Then I started doing personal training. And then we had a writing session. Bart Orr was another producer on the album.
Phenomenal.
Amazing.
That guy.
Amazing.
Listen, man, 15 seconds will change your life with this man. Literally.
No, seriously.
Playing.
He's ridiculous. We sat in a room, him and Pudge, you know, they have like different styles, which was great to have in the room. And then I also pulled on Ron King Jr., who was a co-writer and a vocal production. So he came in and he really kind of walked me through how to write. Because I wasn't used to structured writing. I was used to flowing and then just kind of putting it together. So Ron taught me, you know, okay, what do you want to say? And I would say, okay, this is kind of the gist of what I'm trying to say in this song. Okay, cool. Let's start with a verse. Let's start with a chorus. Let's start with, you know what I mean? Like, and we started to put that together and we would have writing sessions for hours. Bart would come fly down to Jersey, and we would be in one room for 10 to 12 hours, you know, go out and in and take a break, walk away from it for a minute, come back and keep writing. And then once the singer got there, it was like,
it was a wrap.
We're out of here. So it was really crazy. It was really dope.
Tell me what you're feeling. The countdown starts at 5 minutes. Everyone's everyone's in the building. It's packed, by the way. It's packed. Everybody's coming. Dolly's there. You need Pastor Buster Edwards is there. Jay Todd. I mean, you talk about the Tri-State's finest, Philly's finest, Jersey's finest. Everyone's in the building. Pastors are there. Bishops are there. At one point, I blink my eyes and Benita Jones just walked right past me. So literally, it's 10 seconds until it starts. What's going on? How are you feeling? You got a bunch of songs you want to present to the world. What's going through your mind? Tell us what you're going, how you're feeling at that moment.
To be honest, I have to use the bathroom. That was my thought. That was my thought at the moment. I was, you know when you're nervous and you're about to do something and like, just the dumbest stuff just like comes up. And I'm like standing at the door like, I have to pee. Am I going to make it through the first song? And I'm looking literally like, so we had, you know, cameras following us through the process. And I'm looking at the camera like, you think I'll make it? Do you think I'll make it? And then it was just like, I took the deepest breath I've ever taken. And I was just like, this is like, God, you wanted this. And so do whatever. I don't know. Like, I'm 1,000,000% relying on you. I have nothing. Wow. Please. Like, please.
Yo, that, I have to go back to the live recording. It was beautifully done from top.
Thank you.
From top. And yo, VIP, she gave us food to eat. Like,
yes.
Like, she literally had, because sometimes, you know, you pay for VIP, you kind of like, mm-hmm. get a little selfie. If that.
Yeah.
She had like food, water, the whole bit. Like, I really enjoyed myself. It's over. How do you feel now? Like, live recording is over.
Yeah.
The songs are done. What's going on? How does your husband feel? How does your son feel? How does the team feel?
Yes. I'm ready to work. You know? The live recording was step one.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's time to really get into the, you know, gritty parts of it.
Right.
And so we're ready to, we're, you know, in the process of getting into the studio and mm-hmm. making it work and really hitting the ground running with
Got
everything
it.
That we have.
We waiting, and I'm yes. telling y'all, you guys will not be disappointed
at all
in this project. We want to get to know you a little bit before we close, y'all.
Okay.
So, I'm like, I'm preaching before we
That's
close.
Right.
Tell us something about you that people wouldn't really know about you. Some people would be shocked to know about the Borhaines, Carolina.
I don't know if this is shocking, but like, I struggle deeply with like, social anxiety.
No way.
You're not surprised. Stop it.
I'm not.
I'm not surprised. Please.
But I'll be super excited. I'm very energetic, and sometimes I'll be so excited to see people. So I seen the boy. I think when the first time he came
Don't
to my church, I'm so excited. I'm like, oh my goodness, the boy is here. I'm excited. It's about to be a wrap. We're about to be late, and she's literally like, thanks. Hi. But then gets on stage and demolishes it. And then at the end of service, I'm like, yo, the boy, this was crazy. She's like, thanks.
No.
I mean, I'm talking about heaven opened up. Cherubims came down. 24 elders are here. David's dancing. You name. Like, thanks. All right, guys, bye. It was a pleasure, man of God. All right.
What's happening right now? I am overheating. I am mortified. I can't believe you. I'm gonna tell your wife.
Oh man, all right.
Yes. I'm snitching. Yes.
Oh man, okay, we'll talk about nothing podcast, yo.
Listen. No worries, she knows already.
All right, let's play this game. You got to pick one or the other, all right?
Okay.
You cannot say both. You got to pick one.
Okay.
All right? So this is probably going to go some gospel artists. I may throw some secular in there, but
yeah.
CeCe Winans or Yolanda Adams?
Jesus. Okay. CeCe Winans or Yolanda Adams. I am going to go with you. Hold on, I thought I knew. Okay. Can I get a follow-up question?
Yes.
Are we talking about like atmosphere, like leading worship, or
okay,
just ability?
Oh man.
Yeah. Got your back. Hold on.
Because you're a worship leader, I'm going to talk about atmosphere, and I know which one you're going to pick.
Oh God, why would you pick that? Okay, so I will go with CeCe Winans.
Yeah.
For atmosphere.
Okay.
Technique, Yolanda Adams is perfect.
Phenomenal.
Like literally, you can study her. She's perfect.
Yeah. Okay. Tasha Cobbs Leonard, because everybody's getting married now. Kiara Sheard Kelly.
That's right. This is the same issue.
But they both need worship though.
They do, but like, it's just my God. All right, I'm going to say, because only because I've seen Tasha Cobbs lead in person.
Okay.
I'm going to say Tasha Cobbs on it.
Tasha Cobbs, yeah. She's probably one of my favorites.
You know, that was kind of crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, she will shift her atmosphere.
No, it was really, really bad. Yeah.
Okay. Fred Hammond or John P. Key?
Fred Hammond.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I love you, Pastor Key.
Hezekiah Walker or Ricky Dillon?
Golly. Hezekiah Walker.
Okay. NSYNC or Backstreet Boys?
NSYNC.
All right.
Don't do that.
All right. Okay. Yo, listen. I grew up... This is what a lot of people don't know about me. First grade to fifth grade, I was in the suburbs. So Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, 98 Degrees, these were my guys. You couldn't tell me nothing.
I'm sorry, how old are you?
I'm 30.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Pancakes on you.
I'm supposed to be asking the questions here, the board.
Pancakes on you.
Yeah, these were my guys. I don't care. I'm going to say it.
Citizens.
It's okay. It's cool.
It's okay.
She got me back. She was waiting for that, y'all.
No. I didn't get you back yet. Oh, you just wait.
All right. So, listen. These were my guys. And then I moved to Coatesville, which was a culture shock to me because this was like a hood, but not really in a sense. A middle class hood. And now it's introduced to everyone else, but I'm shocked. NSYNC was my, it was chilling. All right, cool. Let's go with William McDowell, William Murphy.
William McDowell.
Okay.
Y'all going. I love you, Pastor Murphy.
No one has said my God, Murphy.
I'm sorry.
And they say I look like him too. It's cool.
Really?
Yeah, I'll show you a picture. You going. Yeah, I didn't put this up because I knew they was going to flame me.
Yeah, post it. Put this right here. Put the picture right here.
Travis Green or Todd Delaney?
Todd Delaney.
Okay. Molly Music or Jonathan McReynolds?
Jonathan McReynolds.
No way.
Absolutely.
What?
Yes, sir. I love you.
Okay.
Jonathan McReynolds, yeah.
Chandler Moore or Dante Ball?
Chandler.
Okay.
That's my brother.
Todd Tribbett or Kirk Franklin? Live. Let me put this.
Okay, take it live. Touch it.
Okay. So, Ron King Jr. or Jay Todd? I'm just messing with you. I think she would have walked out at that point.
Jesus. I mean, give me my keys.
Let me stop messing with the boy, y'all. All right, last one. Israel Houghton and New Breed or Maverick City?
I feel like one learned from the other.
Okay.
I feel like Israel is Maverick's mentor.
Okay.
I
see that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I want to ask you about your mentor.
Okay.
Miranda Curtis.
Yes.
Who is phenomenal.
Yes.
I've seen her live. I've met her. She's one of the nicest people ever. How has she impacted you in your view of ministry and leading worship?
She's impacted me unintentionally a lot more than intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, like, if I watch myself lead worship, there are a lot of things that I do mm-hmm. that I don't know that I got from her.
Right.
Like, I just kind of happened, you know,
mm-hmm.
and but then the things that are intentionally implanted in me are things like boundaries,
mm-hmm.
Things like saying no to what you can't do,
right?
Not stretching yourself out too thin, longevity,
mm-hmm.
Legacy. What do you want to leave to your family and to, you know, what do you want people to know about you other than you lead worship?
Mm-hmm.
Taking care of your home.
Right.
You know, things like that. So, yeah. Amazing.
There's a clip that I want to say went viral for you. You were at a retreat she had.
Oh, God.
And you get on the mic. You start ministering. And literally, you spit a little fellow on you. It was a wrap. Explain to us that clip. Because I watched it over and over and over and over.
I was pregnant.
Okay, all right. And that's another thing. Before we even, you were pregnant. hollering.
Don't play that clip.
I'm not going to play that clip. I'm not. So you're pregnant with your son.
Yes.
And you're leading worship. And it is, like, it's ridiculous. How were you able to do that? And at what point did you say, you know what, I'm pregnant, I got to chill?
I did not. my son was due on August 8th. He came on August 1st. My last engagement was July 18th, I think it was. Something like that. But yeah, no, I didn't. I never stopped. That day was responsible worship.
Mm-hmm.
It was my first conference with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I was nervous because, you know, kind of the newbie
right.
with all the mentees.
Mm-hmm.
It's like four of us, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a moment. And I got up and I just started to do what came naturally. And I mean, the presence of God was just so strong. Every time I'm around Miranda, it seems like there's a strong impartation that happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was with her on Sunday, and there's just a strong impartation that just comes into the room
right.
when she's there. Mm-hmm. And I fell out, honey. I fell out, and everybody was afraid, and she said, nope, she's fine.
Mm-hmm.
She's, leave her alone. And yeah.
Wow. Man, listen, I'm excited for what's to come. I'm excited for this project to be released. One of the things I was thinking about when leaving a live recording, I'm like, this is her first.
Yeah.
And this is ridiculous. She hasn't even hit her prime yet.
Mm.
And I truly believe eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, nor has it entered the heart of man what God's going to do with you and how far he's going to bring you. I'm truly, I say it all the time, I love your heart. You're such a humble person, such a nice person.
Thank you.
All around. And I'm honestly, I'm a true supporter, you know that.
Yes.
I'll support you in whatever way I can.
Yes.
And I'm just excited for what's to come.
Your baby was just born.
Yeah.
He was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How old was your baby?
7 months.
Ooh-wee. No. When the live recording happened.
Mom, your live recording was in July.
September.
My baby was born in July.
Mm-hmm. So I knew it was pretty early.
Yeah, so I had a lot of diapers to feed.
I appreciate you. I'm sure you got in trouble now.
Yeah, there's a lot going on that day, man. The engagement, the baby. I'm coming to this live recording. I don't care.
I appreciate that.
But yeah, I'm excited for what's to come. Tell the people how to stay connected with you and tell them where to follow you.
Follow me on Instagram at I am Deborah Carolina. I also have my business Instagram, which is at JD Eats Weekly. My Facebook, Deborah Haynes Carolina. And yeah. YouTube, just Deborah TV.
Hey, there we go.
Yeah.
There we have it, ladies and gentlemen. Deborah Haynes Carolina. You just witnessed another episode of the I Love Jesus Music Podcast. You guys take care. Till next time, have a blessed day.